Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Think of the program today as a town square. The mayor of Sacramento is here to talk about the teacher strike and much more. Then the new Surgeon General of California will stop by. She will introduce herself and we'll talk about this new job and some of the focus of her career in the medical field. It's all happening over the next hour. Let's begin with Mayor Daryl Steinberg, who is in the studio now. I always appreciate you making time for us. Welcome back.
Good morning, Beth. Great to be with you.
So let's go back to November 6th. 2017 and that big press conference in which you announced that the Sacramento City Unified School District and its teachers had reached a new three-year deal. It was a relief, you said at the time, that a strike had been averted. Was that contract in place for a while?
The contract is in place. And yes, in November of 2017, we averted a strike. What happened after that was that the county superintendent reported to the school board and to the community that the district had a long-term structural deficit. And so over the last year plus, the district and the union, especially the teachers union, have been arguing about the import of the contract and the subsequent declaration by the county superintendent that the district had a deficit. And so here we are today. And I hope that the parties, even with all the emotion, sit back down at the negotiating table and work this out, because there is so much at stake, especially for our kids. This is a high poverty district, and it must be a high performing district. And the only way that can happen is if there is stability in leadership and better relationships between the key stakeholders, none more important than the district board and superintendent and its teachers union. And that has not happened. There is a substantive disagreement. I have my own ideas about how it could be resolved.
In fact, you offered to get involved this time around again in negotiations.
I did, and that offer has not been taken up, and that's okay.
Can I just pause about why it hasn't been? I think it has to do with the fact that the superintendent was called out in social media and some mainstream media, and then you issued a statement back saying to the superintendent, Jorge Aguilar, I've got your back.
I did.
So it seems this had gotten quite ugly behind the scenes.
It had. Well, the union called for an extensive investigation of the superintendent. And I felt, as mayor of this city, look, I've been a longtime friend of teachers and the labor movement, but right is right. And I felt that calling for an investigation of the superintendent in the midst of this dispute with so much at stake, and frankly, with the district on the verge of state receivership, which would be the worst outcome possible, I thought it was at best a distraction and did not help. And so, yes, I stated my piece. I still believe that there is a negotiated solution to be had. The dispute here is over the import of health benefits. What the district says is that in order to avoid receivership, which, by the way, would be horrible for the district, its teachers, and its kids, because we would lose all control, expensive loans from the state, and it would take 20 years to dig out of that.
Is that unprecedented?
It is not unprecedented. There have been several other districts that have gone into receivership, and they've never really recovered. And so here's the issue. It's a $35 million deficit.
Right.
The district has some expensive health benefits. They say we need some relief to the tune of $15 or $16 million as part of an overall solution, needs to include deeper administrative cuts and at least temporary cuts to program. But they need those health benefit savings to avoid state receivership. And that's what must come first. Now, there's a solution here.
But the teachers say those health benefits.
The teachers say that there was an agreement back in 2017
right. That
said any health benefit savings would go into improving the schools, to adding teachers, to reducing class size. How do you reconcile this? I think there is a way. What you do is you say those health benefit savings need to be used to avoid receivership first. And then you find other savings over the course of time. For example, special education in the district, those costs have spiraled to the tens of millions of dollars. If the parties can work together and change this negative relationship and actually find savings for in areas like special education, they can then convert those healthcare savings over time to investing in class size reduction and more counselors and more librarians and more art and the things that the kids in the district so desperately needs. There is an answer here. If there's a little bit of good faith and goodwill and a recognition that the worst thing would be state receivership.
I called this a town square hour, but maybe I should have labeled it the negotiating table, because I think you just put out your solution. And part of why I think you did that is you've sort of been politely declined in your offer to help negotiate. And do you think it has to do with the fact that you backed the superintendent?
Yes. No, the union, it was very clear, despite good relationship over many years and the fact that I helped avoid the strike in 2017, they were mad at me because I spoke my truth, which is that I thought it was not right to attack the superintendent. And I absolutely believe that leadership stability is essential for this high poverty district to become a high achieving district. And Jorge Aguilar came in to this district, yes, without the experience as a superintendent, but with a fierce commitment to equity and with a plan to try to raise student achievement. The parties have to work together. The teachers' union is very important. And the teachers, of course, are the key to the kingdom. They are on the front line of everything involving the schools. But this dysfunction needs to end. The only answer is a ceasefire, a negotiation to work out how to deal with these health benefits in a way that first addresses the deficit to avoid receivership, and then ultimately invest those health benefit savings into the thing that everybody wants, which is more investment in our schools.
Are you being kept in the loop? Are negotiations happening this week during spring break?
I don't know. I am, you know, of course, mayor of the city. I try to be on top of everything, and I am in the loop, so to speak. But I don't think they've moved to that next step from the one-day strike to actually getting serious about negotiating. I think, you know, the district, I think, is willing to sit down. The union is so important. They have so much power, and they represent the most important stakeholders when it comes to student success, the teachers. But the math is the math, and it's a $35 million deficit. And if it is not addressed through a combination of administrative cuts, program cuts, and these health benefit savings, the consequences for everybody is going to be worse. We can do better than this in Sacramento. And so I'm going to keep speaking my mind. I'm not going to disparage or demean anybody. I'm just going to continue to call for a solution and offer my substantive ideas every opportunity I get.
You are listening to Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. I want to go into what I call sometimes with you somewhat of a lightning round here.
Lightning round.
We have a lot of questions
Keep
to get
it short.
Through.
Okay.
Are you taking an important trip to Los Angeles this week? What am I talking about, and is it a yes or a no?
Well, what you're talking about is the Major League Soccer Board of Governors are meeting in Los Angeles, we believe, to consider Sacramento's strongest of strong bids to become the next Major League Soccer city. There is not a presentation that we've been invited to make, neither the private ownership nor me. So I probably won't go to L.A., but we are in touch with the league. And look, here's the thing. Last week, the Sacramento City Council unanimously made a decision to make a very modest investment in infrastructure in the rail yards. And in return, we are now at the front of the line for Major League Soccer.
Ahead of St. Louis?
Well, I think so, but we will see. We have done everything that the league has asked and more. We have found that investor with the capacity to give the league comfort that we're in this for the long haul. We have great local ownership group, the fan base, the best stadium plan in the country, and now a modest public contribution to the infrastructure. We're ready to go. And you know, you can only control what's within your control, but I feel really good about it. And we will see over the next couple of days. All the signs are good. And I'll tell you this, Sacramento deserves this. We've worked hard for it, and I'm very hopeful.
Couple yes or no questions. Is Ron Burkle, that big investor, the private investor,
going
to the meeting on Thursday?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Is there a vote Thursday?
We don't know, because we know that they are meeting and we know that this is going to be a subject of discussion, but we don't know whether or not there will be a vote.
Do you know the details of St. Louis's bid?
I know from what I have read, and, you know, St. Louis is a great city, a great baseball town, and I think they put together a strong bid. But our bid is as strong or stronger than theirs. And look, here's the bottom line. In given back to 2017, the league laid out a checklist for us.
Right.
Do these following things, and you're likely to get a team. We've done that. Now it's in their court.
All right. Modest investment. You use that phrase two times at least.
$33 million for a $1 billion return. Because remember, it's more than the stadium. It's the development of the rail yards, which have sat vacant for 40 plus years. And this is a big deal.
You have been a leader in this city for a long time, even when you weren't mayor. And you know there are people who want no public investment in soccer because of housing issues, homeless issues, arts programs, many, many more. In your view, is this the same group of people who opposed the Kings, the downtown arena development?
Largely, I think that's true, and it's philosophical, and I respect that point of view. I just disagree with it. To me, any time we get into an either-or in our city, then we're falling behind. We need economic development. We need economic drivers. We need things that are going to attract more people to the city, so we build that economic base. At the same time, of course, I'm just as fierce as you know. I've been on your show many times about homelessness, about housing, about economic equity. I gave my State of the City address in Meadowview. We're now launching the Measure U implementation plan with a focus on economic equity. So my message is, this is a city that deserves it all. And yes, it's not perfect, but if we can make a modest investment in attracting a major asset to the rail yards in Sacramento for $1 billion investment in return, it's well worth it.
About housing, what are your observations about the development of downtown, what's happening with the movement of housing, and the huge deficit that we're in right now?
We have a lot of work to do on the housing front, and certainly on the affordable housing front, because what I insist we does not happen in Sacramento is that we make this a city for some with all the great cosmopolitan amenities while leaving many of our neighborhoods and our people out. And housing is a key piece of that. Let me talk about Measure U for just
I want to shift you to the Sacramento Renter Protection and Community Stabilization Charter Amendment. It's qualified now for the ballot. I think on the show that you have previously called it a threat. So now that it has qualified, I wonder whether you think voters should be allowed to vote on this, meaning should voters decide rent control?
Well, certainly voters should always have a say. What I am hopeful is that just like in the teachers, with the teachers issue we talked about a moment ago, that the main stakeholders and the policymakers will sit down between now and November of 2020 and actually come to a resolution that does not create rent control across the board in Sacramento, because I think that would be a mistake. I think it would harm the drive to build more affordable housing, and at the same time, to recognize that there are too many people suffering, and where rents are increased in a way that constitutes gouging, that there ought to be some protection for people. Now, a couple of my colleagues have come forward with a plan that's going to come before the council next week, calling for long-term leases and mandatory mediation. I know a lot of the advocates don't like it. I think that there are a lot of positive elements in that, and we'll debate it, and the question will be, is it enough? I'm not sure it is enough, but I think you've got to start. I tried, as you know, again, to negotiate temporary rent caps on older buildings. The stakeholders, especially on the business side, did not like that. And yet this initiative is looming. And I think the initiative itself has some problems because it's rent control across the board, calls for an elected rent board. There are elements of this I really don't like. And so is there an opportunity, again, to sit down and work together to both continue the incentive to build more and at the same time protect vulnerable people? Because, by the way, there's a big relationship between the housing crisis and our increase in homelessness, because who do you think ends up in many cases in our shelters and on the street? So this is another one of those grind them out. I think my three colleagues come forward with a proposal that is a step in the right direction, and we're going to need to continue to work on this.
Am I hearing between the lines here that you hope some solution will get us to the point where that ballot measure is not actually on the ballot?
Exactly. I always hope for a negotiated solution because that's always better than a 100% up or down.
A quick answer. Is your appointment to chair the Governor's Commission on Homelessness some of a bigger statewide effort to converge what you just said, housing and homelessness?
I think so. I mean, the governor and I and the administration are working hard on putting this task force together. I hope that he will make some announcements in the next days or week and that we're going to get going. But, you know, this is not just a Sacramento problem. It's a statewide problem. And my fundamental belief, and the governor has been very refreshing in that he has made housing and homelessness an actual priority, both budget-wise and policy-wise. They're complicated issues, but we do not have to accept this homelessness condition throughout our state. We need a greater sense of urgency. We need to treat this like the public health and public safety and humanitarian crisis that it is. We need to take the practices that we know actually get people off the street and prevent people from becoming homeless. And we need to create them to scale. We may not cure it, but we can make it much better.
You are listening to Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. I am going to let everybody know that before you came in here, you hinted at an announcement that's coming that I think you used the phrase, perhaps the biggest announcement of your mayorship.
Well,
in Sacramento.
Did I say that? I don't know. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
That's but what I heard.
I do want to say, so the April, you know, I think it's a very important month. Hopefully we get Major League Soccer. And then later in the month, I'm going to tease a little bit. We're going to make a big announcement about Sacramento's waterfront, because this is another one I looked at when I ran for mayor and said, we are at the confluence of two rivers. We've got this natural asset, and we've done so little with it. And it's time that changes.
So
and I
more
think
of
we,
a hint,
we change with Old Sacramento.
Okay.
Instead of just putting forward pretty pictures and plans, we've actually found a creative way to gather tens of millions of public dollars through our hotel tax and to actually put forward a dynamic plan to transform first stage of our Sacramento riverfront. So I'll leave it at that later in the month. But, you know, it's another example of how I think in this city, we cannot do either or. We have to focus on the big picture economic development opportunities, the waterfront, soccer, more industry like Centene. And at the same time, we build that tax base and we invest those Measure U resources in building an arts culture, in investing in our neighborhoods, in affordable housing. And none of it's perfect, but we're moving in the right direction.
You just cued the next topic when you said the word arts. So let's talk about the city's arts budget, the Creative Edge grant process.
Yes.
We are hearing frustration about it. We're hearing concern that the city manager isn't going to allocate enough funding for the Creative Edge program. Are you hearing the same complaints and concerns?
I am hearing the same complaints. And look, we have a great city manager who's doing his job. He's putting forward, you know, a budget. But then it shifts to the city council. We're the ones with the power and authority to pass a budget. That's exactly what we're going to do. And I am absolutely committed to building and funding arts as a main strategy for what I call inclusive economic development. Because arts is every bit as important as sports, you know? We talk about soccer.
Can you put this in numbers? What kind of millions in baseline funding?
Well, I don't know yet.
Okay.
But certainly, One of the things we have been talking about for a long time, if you go back to my State of the City address back in 2018, I talked about using some of the Measure U money as a repayment source for what I called a capital equity fund, right? To use some of the ongoing money to actually create capital. If we have hundreds of millions of dollars worth of capital, we can both create a housing trust fund and an arts endowment. Why not? We can do big things here. We don't have to think about $500,000 at a time or $1 million at a time.
Is the city manager in that thinking with you?
The city manager is a partner, and we have different jobs. And, you know, let's be clear about
that one. That sounds like sort of a no.
No, it's not a no.
Okay.
We just have different jobs. His job is to run the government. My job is to help run the government, but also lead the city towards new directions. And here's one of this is the fundamental issue. I'm going to just, I've got a minute here. There's a debate in the city. Some would say that the city's mission is to fund core services, especially public safety services. And that's a legitimate point of view. My point of view is that plus. I have a different point of view. I did this half cent for Measure U, this additional half cent, specifically on the promise that we would invest most or all of these resources in building a modern, inclusive economy. Now we won. And now the debate begins, because victory has 1,000 fathers, as they say. And now that we have the money, everybody wants their share of it. Well, I intend to stick by what I promised the voters. And of course, it's up to the community and my fellow city council members. But I want to invest the lion's share of this money into building a broader tax base, into building a creative economy, into addressing our housing crisis, into investing in Meadowview and in our other neighborhoods that deserve the attention, in our young people. And so how do we do that, especially when you pass one budget at a time and we have significant long-term obligations? This is the challenge, but it's exactly what I put this Measure U initiative forward to stoke and to create new opportunity, new investment. And ultimately, my argument to the public safety unions and others is that if we don't build a broader tax base in this city, we will never be able to sustain the level of public safety services that the people want and deserve.
All of this, Mayor Steinberg, sounds like long-term work. And ballots are going to go out for the next election in about 9 months. Are you planning to run for a second term, in which case you will need a victory of 1,000 mothers, too?
Yes, I will. I'm not going to make an announcement here on the show, although, you know, Beth, I might, when I'm ready to make an announcement, I might come back and just do that with you. But I would say this. I'm enjoying the work. It is very challenging. Every bit as challenging as being president of the Senate, just in a different way. I do think it takes more than 4 years to change the arc of the city in the way that I think the people want, and to be able to make these long-term sustained investments, and to say that our city can become this next great American city while not leaving anyone behind. And I do think it takes more than 4 years to do that. So maybe that's a little bit of a hint, but I'm not ready to make an announcement. I still have to think about it all. But
you have a standing invitation to come back
yes,
here and make that announcement at any point in time.
Thank you.
And I'm going to keep my promise to let you go to your meeting with one last question. If you do run for re-election, even if you don't, are you up for the fight to change the structure of government in Sacramento? Are you interested in pushing for a strong mayor ballot measure?
That was our last conversation.
It was unfinished, Mayor Steinberg.
It was unfinished. You know, I am open to that question, if not for me, certainly for a future mayor. I do think that the structure should be changed. I think that as great a partnership as I have with the city manager, the structure of government, I think, makes it harder to get things done and to move assertively in the direction of the will of the people under this system. But, you know, I don't know whether I will seek to do that in the near term, because I'm so focused on the work itself. And so we're looking at it, and I'll look at it, but it isn't what I wake up every morning to focus on. I'm focused instead on waterfront soccer, homelessness, housing, economic equity, arts, and everything else that the people elected me to do.
Well, thank you. In about 25 minutes, you covered it all today.
We always do.
We'll have a new lineup next time. Okay. As I said, I always appreciate the time. We don't take it for granted. Glad you made so much time for us today.
Thank you so much, Beth.
That is Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. You can find today's conversation posted online, as well as links to our past conversations. It's all at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.